good afternoon, good evening. My name is Marty Plum, and I am your host of a Pen and a Napkin Podcast, a weekly coaching clinic you can carry around with you in your pocket. This is a special podcast. I was thinking earlier today, I was like, you know, WNBA playoffs are starting today, and it has maybe been the most publicized WNBA season ever. There's more attention on the league than there ever has been. So we should probably give it its proper due, its proper credit. And I thought, who could be perhaps the person I know in this world that knows more about the WNBA than about anyone that I know? And it didn't take me long to figure out that it is my beautiful, handsome son that is a senior at South Dakota State University, Mr. Carter Plum. How are you doing this Sunday early evening?
I'm doing good.
Yeah. Are you ready for your official podcast debut?
I am.
Yeah. Your sister has been on a couple. So, yeah. So, you are ready to break this down here. We've got a couple of games in the books already today. So, let's start there. Your New York Liberty dominated the Atlanta Dream, the 1-8 matchup, or 1-8 matchup. Final score was 14, but the game wasn't that close. I'm assuming you watched it, Cart?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did.
What's your thoughts on the series? Is this just going to be easy peasy here for the Liberty? Are they just going to roll, or what do you think?
Well, it's kind of a toss-up because the last regular season game for the Liberty was against the Dream. And at that point, they had already clinched the number one seed, so you don't know. Atlanta beat them in their last regular season game.
Yeah.
So it's hard to kind of see if that's more just like, we can lay off the gas for a game because we already clinched the number one seed. Like, we don't need another win. Or if Atlanta really is that good to where they could take on the Liberty. That's something kind of tricky about these like first round three game series is that you give up one game and then it's your whole season's on the line.
Yep.
Yeah. Compared to like the 5-game series or the 7-game series of the NBA. So, based on what I saw today, I feel fairly comfortable with the Liberty being able to defeat Atlanta just based on the fact that the Liberty have so much length on the defensive end of the court. And Atlanta had multiple either shot clock violations or 2 seconds left on the shot clock. They just chucked up a shot.
Yeah.
And for them, for Atlanta, they really need their transition points to also score. And defensively, they weren't able to really stop the length of the Liberty on that side of the court either.
Yeah.
So the only reason why Atlanta got back in the game for a little bit was because Jonquel Jones was in foul trouble.
Yeah.
So there was no really stop Tina Charles. So I feel like if they do execute their game plan, the Liberty should take it easily.
Yeah.
But you never know what could happen in just a 3-game series.
Yeah, Jonquel Jones only played 22 minutes. I'm looking at the box score right now. She only played 22, but, you know, the Liberty just have too many offensive options between, you know, the big three of Stewie, Jonquel, and Enescu. You know, it's just too overwhelming. They were basically with those three on the floor, or I'm sorry, with Enescu and Stewart on the floor, they were plus 25. And you know, Stewie played 32 minutes, Enescu only played 26. So, you know, it's not like the Liberty really even had to press today in order to get the win. So, you're taking your Liberty here. You're taking your Liberty here probably in two, I would think.
Yeah, at least that's what I'm hoping for.
That's what you're hoping for. Get a little bit of rest. Get a little bit of that in before they hopefully move forward. The other game that's already completed today was Indiana and Connecticut. Much, a bigger spread than I thought what it might be. Fourth quarter went really, really bad for Indiana, it looked like. And when Caitlin Clark feeds 4 for 17, they're probably going to struggle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts? Oh, go ahead, buddy.
I was just going to say the Connecticut team, when you look at it compared to the Indiana Fever team, they're a lot more comfortable in that playoff situation.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's been 7 or 8 years since the Fever have made the playoffs or something like that.
Yeah.
I saw.
Yeah, 2016.
And especially when like your two, I mean, arguably two of the biggest players for the Indiana Fever are, well, one was Ricky last year and then Caitlin Clark. So Leah Boston and Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
Are two of the core components of that team. They're trying to figure it out for themselves. So it's hard enough doing that for yourself, but having to lead the rest of your team as well.
Yeah.
And then also just Marina Mabry for the Connecticut Sun makes it so much harder to guard them because she can spread the court so much because she's such a 3-point threat.
Yeah.
And I think that Connecticut has what the Fever has, just better. They both kind of have the same parts, but Connecticut's more experienced. They're just used to the environment. They're also just more comfortable.
Sure. Yeah. This is kind of what they call, you got to pick up your scars, if you will. And, you know, Indiana's really, really young, obviously. Caitlin Clark, Aaliyah Boston, and even Kelsey Mitchell, you know, all really, really young players. Katie Lou Samuelson is not exactly old. I think this is going to be Connecticut's to lose. You know, Indiana hung in there for a little while, but it's probably just going to be an uphill climb for Indiana to pull this out. But they win one game. If they find a way to win game two, then they go back to Indiana and never know what might happen, but it's going to be tough, don't you think, bud?
Yeah. I would agree, yeah. It's a very hard environment to play in, especially at Connecticut. I mean, because of UConn, they have such a big basketball environment there, too. It's really hard to play there.
And overall, Connecticut's just probably a better team, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
they are.
Yeah, so... the game that is going right now as we speak, Minnesota is up about 10 on the Mercury. This is the 2-7 matchup. What are your thoughts on this series, Kurt?
I would say, as a Liberty fan, the Lynx is kind of the team that scares me the most. Mm-hmm. If the Liberty were to go up against them, they're very versatile. And I feel like Phoenix throughout the whole season, even though like it is the end of the season and you want to be on the upward trajectory, they've been so hot and cold throughout the entire season that you don't really know what to expect from them. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Lynx, I mean, they were the Commissioner Cup champions. They've proven that they can fight to be at the top of the league. Mm-hmm. And they also have that ability to really spread the court. They have really good shooters. They have Bridget Carlson.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Nafisa Collier is really good in the paint. So she has a lot of defense on her that opens up the court. But I think Minnesota is one of those just like level-headed teams that doesn't get too far ahead of themselves. They stick to their game plan. They're obviously very well coached.
Yep.
USA coach.
Yeah.
So I think, in my opinion, I don't see any scenario where Phoenix could really take over. I just think Minnesota's too good to allow that to happen. They're very, like I said, very level-headed. They have a lot of people on their team that they can go to for points. It's never usually one person. It's a different person every game. So
Collier's the leader, but there's a bunch of good players around her that make that happen. So she's already got 25 in the third quarter here. I'm reading the box score. So you're saying Minnesota is going to pull this one out, bud?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Let's jump to the fourth and probably what could be the most interesting series of them all. And that is the four, which it should be. It's the 4-5. But the Seattle Storm and the Las Vegas Aces, this got a chance to be just a really, really good three-game series that could very well go the distance.
Yeah, it's probably the one that I'm most excited to see how this plays out. Mm-hmm. I feel I could see it going either way. Jewel Lloyd and Skylar Diggins-Smith, Neko Gumake, they all have the ability to get really hot. We've seen that throughout the season.
Yeah.
And for the Aces, I think the X factor for at least this series will be whose bench can really come in and make a big difference. Because for both of the teams, I mean, their starting lineups are star-studded.
Yeah.
Both
teams are really camp-heavy.
Yeah, and I feel it will more be who can come in the game, fill in those spots, and push their team forward, mm-hmm. which it's a toss-up. I want it to be Seattle, and because the Aces and the Liberty have history, but also the Aces have had their core group for longer.
Yeah.
And that's a little more intimidating to go against, as good as Seattle is. They have those new pieces that they're still trying to work together. Kind of reminds me of the Liberty last year.
Yeah.
They had all the talent. It was just more the chemistry and the connection that they were waiting for.
Yeah.
But I still think it's a toss-up considering, I mean, the Aces have also been very hot and cold all year. I mean, granted, they didn't have Chelsea Gray for a while.
Yeah.
But even when she has been back for extended amounts of times, they've dropped. We've seen multiple games at a time.
Yeah.
And at this point of the season, if you drop multiple games at the time, especially in the three-game series, that could be the end of your season. So,
yeah, you're cooked.
It will just be a trip.
Yeah, I think everybody was kind of waiting for the Aces to get going here, and they finished the season, the regular season, really, really strong. They won their last five games in a row. But Seattle has been a little bit more consistent. But, you know, it's like Tony's been saying on the coaching staff, you know, Las Vegas is kind of the team. It's like, okay, we know what we need to do. We know how we need to do it. Let's just get to the playoffs, and then let's get healthy for the playoffs. Seedings be damned. You know, who cares? Let's just go out and play at that point. And there's something to be said for that as well, don't you think, Ben?
Yeah, I think also another part of it, which is something that you have to take into account, is the Aces have a target on their back. I mean, they're back-to-back champions. So, you know, whoever is going against them has that in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, stick to your game, but whether conscious or not, you're thinking about how they are the two-time defending world champions. So, you know, you have to give it your all and really come out and play your best basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen Jewel Lloyd go off before, but we've also seen AJ Wilson go off before.
Yeah.
So I guess it's...
I think AJ Wilson goes off every game.
Yeah, honestly. But it will be interesting to see the combination of the bench and their, like, star player. I mean, Jewel Lloyd is a star of Seattle.
Yeah.
AJ Wilson is the star. The Aces, who can carry their team to the next round?
Maybe. Yeah.
Interesting to see them battle it out. I feel like it will go three games. Mm-hmm. I hope it does.
Yeah. And then just let them beat on each other for three games.
Yeah, and then the Liberty can just hopefully take over the leftovers.
Yeah. So out of the other six teams, you said the team that you fear the most for your Liberty is Minnesota, or is it Las Vegas?
I think Minnesota. I think for the fact because when the Liberty played, they swept the Aces for the first time since I think like 2017, 2018 in the regular season.
Yeah.
They've proven that they can handle the Aces, whereas they've split with Minnesota.
Yeah.
So that's kind of more of like a toss-up and unknown, and I feel like because of the history between the Aces and the Liberty, they know they have to bring it to them and play their best out for that revenge. Whereas with the Lynx, they don't really have that bad blood between them, where they want to bring their A game as much as with the Aces.
Yeah. Okay. Asia Wilson, unanimous league MVP. Probably the biggest no-brainer of the whole season, don't you think, Doug?
Yeah. To play that well for so long is just, 1,000 points in a 40-game season is insane.
Yeah.
You're kind of just waiting for her to slow down, and she never did.
Yeah, yeah. Well, 1,000 points in 40 games, isn't that what you did for Mary Our Queen?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably more than that.
Probably more than that. Yeah, any other what'd you think of the rest of the voting? I think it was Nafisha Collier was second, like almost unanimous second, and then Stewart was third, and then Caitlin Clark was fourth. Agree, disagree? What do you think of that?
I definitely agree with Aja Wilson being MVP, as much as she's technically our like rival, but I think she deserves it. I definitely don't think Stewie had as much of a standout year as last year. Mm-hmm. So considering the fact that she's that high, I honestly was surprised about it just because the Liberty is such a, balanced out team at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Nafisa Collier, when she was out earlier in the season, we saw the Lynx really struggle.
Yeah.
And then she came back and they started winning again. So that shows just like the impact her one presence can have on the court. So,
yeah.
I don't know about Caitlin Clark. I think it's really hard to judge for her because she's not surrounded with nearly as good of
developed talent.
They haven't really had that chance to. She doesn't have that like star squad. Her star squad is her and Aaliyah Boston. Mm-hmm. And Aaliyah Boston can only do so much. Mm-hmm. And she can only do so much.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it was pretty fair. Obviously, Asia Wilson's been dominant all year. Collier is the best player on the second best team. Like you said, Stewart kind of just by kind of like a Jason Tatum or whatever, where she doesn't get her individual stats aren't as what they would be if she was on another team that didn't win as much, but she would be more the center of everything. And then, again, Caitlin Clark, all things considered, had a tremendous, tremendous season. And I don't care what you say, that team has been horrible. That franchise has been horrible for a long time. And she got them to 500 and she got them in the playoffs this year. So, and that's the number one thing that changed with their franchise. So I don't think that is terribly unfair at all. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yes, especially their, I think it was like a 1-8 start mm-hmm. the season.
Yeah.
They still managed to, once she finally kind of got that break after playing her whole college season, playing the first half of the WBA season, she kind of carried her team to over 500, and a 6 seed is higher than I would have ever thought they were.
Yeah.
If you would have told me they were at the beginning of the season, I would have thought that they got in just by a hair.
Yeah,
the 8 seed.
Yeah, yeah, very dominant, very dominant, and they're going to be, if they keep this core together and if they stay healthy, they're going to be making some noise for a long time. So, anything else, Carter, that you want to talk WNBA on here?
Not that I can think of. Go Liberty.
Go Liberty. Well, maybe we'll bring you back here for the semifinals. We'll kind of pick your brain here for the semifinals or something like that. How about that, buddy?
Sounds good.
All right. Well, it is. How was your podcasting debut? How did it feel?
It was good. It was something I knew a lot about. So.
Yeah. Pretty easy to talk about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's been fun. It's been short, but it's been fun. And it's I hope folks enjoy this little 20-minute podcast just talking a little WNBA playoffs. And my son Carter, I'm proud of all my kids. I'm really proud of him. He's going to graduate this spring. Going to be a Spanish teacher and a basketball coach is kind of the plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So we'll see.
I said C.
Oh, C. Yeah, sorry. So very proud of you, son. Love you so much. It's been great having you on the pod. So hope you enjoyed this little A Pen and a Napkin WNBA playoff preview with the one and only Carter Plum. Coaches, hope you enjoyed it. Whoever's listening, hope you enjoyed it. Coaches, as always, let's be sure to hone our craft one day at a time.